It's all right.
Built out, maybe.
All right.
These are very quiet. I got to figure out how to turn up the volume.
Ryan, you're fine.
Sorry, Ben, when do you have to leave?
10-ish.
So 40 minutes.
9:20 for you right now.
It is, yeah.
Okay, 40 yeah. minutes. Okay, so we better get the show on the road. Who's going to host? Who's going to do the whole welcome to Ryan? Do you want to do that? I'm sure you can improv. We've got, you can do your name thing with Ben.
The name
thing? Oh, no.
Yeah, the name thing. He just did it on the
chair. Oh, yeah, that thing. Yeah, that's I stared at
Miranda,
that for a while.
Miranda Lambert.
It's the add a name game. We're never mind.
Add a name.
We're not going to do it.
Ooh, okay. Let's count down. Let's introduce the show and the participants. And Ryan, then let's play our game. And then we'll talk going. Succession. Yeah,
should we count down how many minutes late Ryan was? No, we don't have time for that. Never mind.
We do not have
time.
Well,
I thought
that.
Chris said he needed 20 minutes. And then he's like,
that was right, at 7:50. I said 20 minutes. I was like, actually, no, it doesn't need to be that long.
Actually,
well,
15.
I didn't see that message.
Oh, okay. I was like, I could call from the car, which is what I did. So
that's your car?
Yeah.
Gosh. So Dodge Journey.
That's for sure.
All right. We can't count down the minutes late. Let's count down. Oh, what's something that Ben likes? Philadelphia. Let's count down Philadelphia, the Eagles Super Bowl championships.
One.
Hit it, Tim.
Now the story of an eclectic fan base who lost touch with reality and the one podcast that somehow holds the...
In counting! 100 episodes since the start of this show. Now you gotta pay for After Glow.
This Kenny is rocking the self-checkout. Done in 2 minutes, there ain't no doubt.
From the cart to the scanner.
From the scanner to the bag.
His dog stuff got stolen, so that's the drag tag.
Got fire sticks, e-books, a chaotic house. Closet door shut, get the fuck out.
Carl went home, Arizona to Sweden.
Paper Priest's best friend is a heathen.
Time to record.
Each episode he'll tweet.
Because he'll be rocking this podcast 8 days a week.
No shaming.
No. Oh, you said I'm dead. Welcome to the SSEU podcast. This is a interesting episode.
You don't know that yet.
Why did you? I didn't want to do this. I thought you were going to do this. No introductions this week. I'm canceling introductions as long as Thomas isn't here. We do have a guest, but I'm not going to introduce him. And I have a co-host, but I'm not going to introduce him.
Okay. Well, thank you for that kind introduction. Let's continue our game. So Ryan Welcome. And I are playing a game where we're trying to whittle our way down to say the same word. Are we going to start with the same words we ended with last time?
What did we enlist last time?
Oh, I don't know. Let's just start with a new word.
I think
word.
It was... okay, we're going to start.
Start with a new word, right okay?
Now. Okay.
Do you have a
Let
word?
Me think of a word. Let me think of a word. Okay.
Three... two, one, moose.
Ice bucket.
Ooh.
Okay, moose and ice bucket. I think it reminds me of a movie, but
I've got a word.
Okay, I've got a word.
Three, two, one, Lou Gehrig.
Welcome to Mooseport. Oh,
man. Neither of you said only one word. Kind of just, you're making this
it can be
yourself.
A thing it doesn't
it
have
be
to
a thing.
Be
a
word. It can
be a proper noun. Okay,
welcome to Mooseport. Gene Hackman's last movie, 2004, with Ray Romano. Okay.
all right
what a cast.
I have a word.
I have a word.
Three.
I
two.
Don't know if you're playing or if you're doing things that you did last week.
Hey,
intentionally trying to go in the opposite direction.
I have a word.
Okay. Three. I have a word.
Two, one, Hoosiers.
Gene Hackman. God damn it.
Ah! All right.
Okay. I know. Well, how can I reduce that down to...
Let's see.
I've got something.
3, 2, 1, coach.
Abuse.
Okay, basically we got it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Are you ready?
All right.
3, 2, 1, Bobby Knight.
Punch.
God. Why? All right. Okay. Punch and Bobby Knight.
Did punch someone, a player.
3, 2, 1, abuse.
Kneel something. It was Neil. I can't remember his last name. No, he all choked right, him. He didn't punch
I've got
him.
A word. I've got a word.
And what did you say?
Abuse.
Oh, you went back to it.
So abuse okay. And kneel something. There's only one common thread here, Ryan. 3, 2,
we
got,
I haven't thought of anything yet. Don't say it. abuse and kneel something. This has got to be the last one because we're going to move on. We'll
yes,
just continue this game.
Like, okay. 3, 2, 1, Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight.
We did it.
That was kind of, I don't know why I hesitated. I was going to say Bobby Knight, but
you thought, I was going to go like Ryan Gosling or something. All right.
Yeah, kind of. Okay, so we won.
We won.
Doesn't feel as great as, you know, it seemed like it should. I guess when you take, you know, over multiple days to do it, it's not as
multiple impressive. Episodes. Not just multiple days, it's multiple episodes, which means yeah. Multiple months. So,
yes.
All right.
We have plenty of time to think about it.
We have Benjamin Parker here today to talk about the greatest show to conclude in the month of May in the year of our Lord 2023, Succession.
Your Lord.
My Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, let's recite Psalm 110 together. A Psalm of David. No, let's talk Succession. Who wants to start?
All right,
Ryan, you go.
And so, yeah, I just finished season 3. I'm looking forward to season 4.
Great. So, no, like, we can cover the first 3 seasons only.
Okay, no spoilers, okay?
Doug, am I on this?
Yeah.
People can hear me?
Yeah.
You literally... I told you exactly what I was going to do and say that I hadn't seen season 4 and I was going to put in my predictions and you stole my joke. I'm not there for 2 seconds.
I didn't think you were going
to steal my joke. I give you my notes and you steal them. You make them your own.
It's called appropriation and we're all for that.
I did tell
culturally appropriate.
We kind of finished watching season 4 together and I told him to put this day on his calendar and then the time changed and I didn't think he was coming.
He told me it'll be like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock your time.
And did he, so you watched together. So did he tell you that it was a standalone movie and started you on like season 4, episode 3?
No, that's pretty much every other show though that he started me on.
That was just the White Lotus. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just White Lotus. I was very confused about the White Lotus. All right, just I'm going to mute myself again because I'm in my car and I'm sure it sounds awful. So,
sounds better than Ryan.
Yeah, see, I guess it actually sounds fine, but.
And that.
Whatever.
That.
That was Thomas Lassie. Welcome, everybody.
Those, yes. No, those velvet tones you're hearing are coming from one John Patrick Moynihan Kinney. Welcome back, Patrick.
Thank you. It's great to be back. It's kind of it's a little uneasy now that you guys actually have people that are listening to your podcast. Before,
what happens?
We try our best to get rid of them.
Yeah, I'm. That's why I'm here. Is because you guys are working to get rid of those listeners.
You know what else really works?
We got
turning a monthly podcast. Turning a monthly podcast into a semi-annual podcast. Okay, so Patrick, rank the seasons.
Rank the seasons?
Yeah.
Of White Lotus or Succession?
I just watched season 3 and season 4.
Okay.
Like this past month. Season 3, I probably ranked it last.
Okay.
I think season 4.
Don't even understand what we're doing. How can any season, like, it's a whole thing. Like, you can't take
all connect.
So but Succession,
there's still better seasons.
Succession is a show that is so popular among a certain, like, higher middle brow cultural elite that there has been so much talk online and in certain journals where, like, I've seen rankings of individual episodes and it's like, who has the time to decide, like, what is the middling episode, what is the lower third? But I didn't know how to start discussion. That's why I asked that question. I agree. There are some kind of slow episodes. Like, I remember the choosing of the Republican nominee. I did not particularly love that one in season 3. And I don't know about you guys. I felt like season 4 started kind of slow. Like, I was very excited. In the first 2 episodes, I was just kind of like, I'm not loving this.
Then you had episode 3 spoiled for you.
Yeah. I don't think it started slow.
Is that because the family started to come together? And you were like, nah,
I'm not liking this harmony.
Unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, it started a little slow plot wise, but it had some of the funnier lines. Like, I think it's the first episode where they say, like, this is like our new project is like Vox meets the Atlantic meets Substack meets Twitter meets Tesla or something. Like,
yeah, that's what Kendall said.
Yeah, that's honestly one of the funniest lines in the whole show.
Isn't the first episode when they're watching the audition tape of Logan's assistant girlfriend?
Oh, that was very funny.
That
yeah.
was great.
And Roman's just like...
That wasn't the first episode, was it?
Maybe.
It was one of the first ones because it was
very
while Logan was still alive.
Yeah. And
my favorite part in that is when Logan is trying to like get them to take her off the air and it be their decision.
Yeah, yeah, I said, as you know, I'm... Hands off or whatever.
Hands off on this. Because Tom is initially like, oh, she's great. Yeah, let's put her on the air. And then Logan has to guide him to, oh, she needs a little work.
I saw a video somewhere that, you know, how Jeremy Strong does the whole method thing. So in the scene where they're in the kitchen at their mom's house and he's drinking that disgusting concoction,
stuff that they got out of the refrigerator, they put that in there and he really drank it. And he's like, he can't even believe that people are asking him, what did you drink? Like, of course, like I had to. I was
apparently
was Kindle.
What he said is that, you know, of course they had to be like multiple takes.
Yeah. And he was like throwing up outside.
Yeah. He's like going outside and retching in between takes. And he's like, yeah, give me some more.
And we couldn't swap it out with something that tasted good that wouldn't cause you to throw
That's
up.
What I'm like,
that
you could
looked
make
the
something
same.
Look that color. And he, but he's like, no.
You could just like a chocolate drink smoothie. With like, it wouldn't be hard.
He's like,
didn't they put some of the cheese in there too?
Yep.
After Roman licked the whole thing and threw it in there.
Yep. Yeah.
If Kendall would have drank it, Jeremy Strong has to drink it.
Those are the rules.
Did you
imagine
he says,
all the drugs wait, Jeremy Strong must have done to really get to that character?
Shiv spits in that.
Yeah. And Jeremy Strong in season 2 or whatever, like, actually did meth. Like, definitely.
Yeah.
He actually pooped the bed.
He did actually have the cocaine shits.
Well, okay, so...
He actually killed a guy.
He did kill the guy.
Killed that guy.
He's like, no, it's not gonna mean as much to me if he doesn't really die.
Can you imagine what would happen if Christopher Nolan ever cast Jeremy Strong in a movie? Like, the practical effects versus, you know, method acting, as in, you know, we have to not only blow up actual nuclear weapons,
but I have to really be there.
So did you see
give me some of that radiation poisoning? I want to say
in the final scenes of the entire show, Jeremy Strong is kind of wandering in Battery Park And in one of the takes, did you see he would have jumped in the river because he thought felt like that's what Kendall would have done, except as like his like bodyguard had to come over and grab
him. So one of the takes they didn't use, he started to climb over the rail because he said like that was like a life ender for Kendall and like it was done. And he's like, it wasn't in the script. And I don't know. He said he didn't know if the actor, the bodyguard, or him as the bodyguard was running after him because he might have thought Kendall was actually going to jump in.
So this show, while it's not quite like Girls in that everybody talked about Girls, but nobody watched Girls. Mm. This show is probably watched by five times as many people as Girls. So still not that many people. So
yeah, so like that's like 10 total people.
Yeah. So can we sketch out like the general narrative of the season and then maybe comment on it? So the season opens, if I'm trying to think back, as they're trying to pitch this new thing, they're trying to purchase this old kind of.
Well, initially sclerotic... they're starting their own thing. Purchasing Pierce comes in later because they think that their dad, they get a rumor that their dad is going to try to purchase Pierce. And they want to screw him out of that. Because initially they're building their own thing that, you know, Substack, Tesla, that's like they're meeting with people and like investors to figure out like what that thing is going to be. And they're like, we're all in on this, right? And then as soon as they hear that their dad is going to try to buy Pierce, they're like, let's try to buy Pierce.
Okay.
And important thing is that it's all three of them. It's Shiv, Shiv, Roman, and Kendall are all three cooperating outside of Waystar for the first time.
For the first time for a few episodes.
Like 2.5 episodes or whatever.
Or were they all ever?
Three, the only children. The only children.
That's right, the only children.
I'm the oldest son. I'm the oldest boy.
Like were they ever for any second not like already screwing each other? Like even though on the show, it looked like they were all gonna work together for a while, but then very quickly you start to see hints that they're all like, you know, trying to gain leverage on each other or trying to screw each other. I wonder if like there was any chance of them like, you know, working together and trusting each other longer than, you know, a couple days ever, no matter what happened.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I'm affirming what you said.
Maybe like they had intentions to work together from the start because they weren't going to take over the company thing, but then quickly the question is who started screwing over everyone first once they came together would be my question. Was it Roman? Was it Shiv? I don't know who started that once they all three kind of came together.
I think they're happy to work together. I think they want to work together. But anytime it seems like one person gets like a little bit up on the others, and we see this in the final episode where Shiv realizes like she cannot live Kendall.
Yeah, no matter what else happens, Kendall cannot win.
Yeah, even if it ruins everything, like she would rather he lose than she win.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, for sure. And I think like when they start, you know, they start screwing each other, I'm sure they justify it to themselves because I'm sure they're thinking, I got to do this before, you know, one of them screws me out of this.
I think the first one, it's debatable whether she's screwing them, but I think almost immediately Shiv is like having talks with one of the presidential campaigns, right? About coming over to do like comms work. Because before like Mattson is really in the loop, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, she's like, kind of like, yeah, I'm all in on this, the 100 but new project, like, but I'm also kind of
she's looking to get it, something go else. Back into politics. Yeah,
but, right. That's and right. So, like, of course, they interpret that as her trying to screw them over, but like, debatable if that's actually hurting them.
But wasn't Roman already talking with their dad, with Logan, the whole time, and like starting to go back with them, and then they started cutting Shiv out
immediately once they started taking over.
Right.
Like when they became CEO, they started just like, yeah, we're all three going to run it together. And then immediately like Shiv's like not a part of it at all.
We'll keep you in all the communications. And then like 5 minutes later, they're like having a private conversation with someone. She's like, why was I right. not invited to
five
this?
Minutes later, yeah. they're reversing the most important decision the company's yes. ever made. Not telling. Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's for your own good.
Yeah. And they probably believe that each of their decisions is not selfish, that it's like for the good of the company and for the good of everybody.
You're going to be all in. You're going to be in on everything except for, like, you know, if we think that you're not going to agree with us.
I'm sorry to go way back. More work for Thomas if this totally grinds momentum to a halt. But the whole like Tesla meets Substack, that reminds me of from 30 Rock, Liz Lemon. It's just a few degrees better than Liz Lemon pitching Jack Donaghy saying cross promotional deal mechanics, revenue streams, jargon, synergy. And then Jack says, yes, that's the best presentation I've ever seen. It's just like a little bit better than her just like throwing out businessy words. So thanks for that, Ben, for doing that.
No, I actually have heard somebody else on some other, well, I think it was one of the Ringers podcasts, make that point too, that they thought it was similar to that.
I didn't watch the show. Yeah,
so.
But her whole thing was like parody, and like
yes, it, for them,
like
it's real.
Just a little bit better than yeah. parody. So okay, so the first episodes we have the funny. So Logan has a new mistress who also wants to go on TV and be a news presenter, and she's terrible.
Basically, can't read. She's functionally illiterate.
Yeah. For some reason, laughs. Whatever she talks about, something terrible. She says like something about a murder, and she laughs or something, and Roman is just like, "Oh, that's funny."
Well, then when Logan dies, she laughs again. She's like laughing almost hysterically. That's right. What is Carl or something points that out? He's just like, "Well, we can't have her say anything."
That's him, right?
Chuckles the clown or something.
That's right.
So one of the characters of the show, honestly, is like the exotic locations, right? So to pitch Pierce on an acquisition, they go to like, I don't know, Napa?
Something like that.
Yes, I can't remember.
Somewhere in California. And maybe I was just a little bit exhausted by that of just like, oh, they go to some other amazing place. Like in season three, it ends in like Lake Como, and now they're like they're in this mansion in, I don't know, like New Jersey overlooking New York City, and then they bounce from there to California, and they have this idea, okay, we're gonna buy Pierce. At what point, all the while they want to keep ATN, right? That's that was part of the original deal. And then they go to this exotic place in Norway to like, following the death of Logan, somehow
Logan dies.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, Logan dies.
Is that important to talk about? And it's like Logan dies, and they're like, "Oh, well, we need to push this deal through." Like in the immediate days after his death, like you need to come to Norway now to this exotic fjord-based retreat center. But it's in Norway, right? Because Gojo is based in Sweden, but yeah. As they say, Norway, Sweden, what's the difference? All descended from the same rapists.
Yeah, I think that's right. What did you think? Anything? Do you want to say anything about the episode? Like how they shot Logan's death? Anything about it? Like, I feel like I know you didn't like it, but that's because you kind of knew it was going to happen. Like I thought it was like, I don't know, like probably the best way they could have.
Okay, so this is, I don't want to have another discussion of how spoilers ruin everything, But like, it's interesting. I was listening to across the movie aisle as they were talking about spoilers, and freaking Peter Suderman was like, the reason we're talking about this is because a character dies on a very popular show, and he dies a lot earlier than you thought, right? Because you're like, okay, later in the season.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is, as soon as they're doing chest compressions, I'm like, oh crap. Like, it took me out of it. I was so angry. And my wife, the entire episode, and the next episode started, and she's like, is he really dead? So I think without the spoiler, you're like, Logan can't die, like in your mind, right?
You're basically like his kids, where they think he's just invincible. And you're just like, he's not actually going to die. They're not going to actually kill him off right here.
Yeah, I mean, in the show, set him up that way, for sure.
And Ryan's just wrong that spoilers do ruin your first experience with something. So he's just wrong. And
I was robbed of like 40 minutes of just like not being sure of putting myself in the shoes of the kids who even, are in denial well into the next episode, right? Like it takes a while for them to.
I mean, Roman is trying to get him out of the coffin.
Can we get him out of the box? Is he in the box? Can we get him out?
I will say it's not just that it gives you that uncertainty. It also throws you back to the very beginning of season one, right? Yeah. Where they're really not sure, and you realize that in the ensuing 3.5 seasons, actually they haven't figured anything out. No. Like they've had a hint that this was coming, and they have progressed not one inch. If anything, they've regressed.
Right. Yes. They haven't. Yeah. That nothing is planned. That they haven't thought of how am I going to handle this if this really happens. They just
and neither has Logan, right? I mean, he has that existential crisis where he has like, I have no friends. People are just inputs for profit, and my one bodyguard is the one person I actually know, including my many crossing out
Kendall's. He's crossing out or underlining Kendall's name.
Just want to know why the bodyguard didn't get anything in the will. He wasn't even mentioned. If he's his best friend, he can't get a watch. He can't get anything in the show. They can't just mention him other than just getting the
still staff.
Because Logan has no friends.
He has one friend. He has the. He made a point that is his one friend. That's his best.
He could talk to him.
Logan says that. Yeah. Logan says that he's his one friend, but that guy collects a paycheck from him, and that's a weird ass friendship.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, obviously, after Logan's death, he had to start seeing a shrink. I think what does Kendall call it? You had to see a head doctor.
Yeah,
and he doesn't mean an ENT. He means
that was supposed to be. He's like, I thought that was supposed to be. Not disclosed to anyone. And he's like, oh no, it's out. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
There's no HIPAA among, like, if you're a billionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're
Do
in
we want to talk
Norway.
About whether or not, okay. Yeah.
So they're in Norway and first, I think Lucas pitches, he wants to fold in ATN, after which they realize, without telling Shiv, they being Kendall and Roman decide, let's kill the deal. Kendall realizes, wait, I want it. We can fix it. I can, like, I am the only one who can do it. We can actually fix what's broken here.
They're all like, cause initially it's Shiv who is like talking to Stewie and Sandy, and they're like, we can get more out of this. And they're like, don't accept the deal. Let's push him to get more. And Roman and Kendall are like, no, he's not going to negotiate with us. He said that he'll walk. And they're like, that sounds like negotiation. And Roman's like, no, I know he's going to walk. And then Kendall's against it. But then Kendall texts Stewie. And all of a sudden, Kendall's for it. But he doesn't tell Shiv that he's for it or Roman. So
meanwhile,
none of them are ever being honest with each other.
Right. It's not. And it's not about the deal itself. The deal, the specter hanging over everything is Logan Roy. And Logan Roy was for the deal. And even in death, Kendall still wants to prove to his daddy that he can run the company, that he can be the successor, right?
Well, that and the deal is just leverage they all have to secure their positions. So at first, Logan and Kendall, Kendall and Roman want the deal to prove that they can do it as co-CEOs, that they can sign this huge deal. And they realize that, oh, wait, actually, if we kill the deal, that makes us look way more independent and we can screw over Shiv. So actually, let's kill the deal. And it really has nothing to do with that. You get no objective measure through the entire show if it's a good deal or not. Everything is completely subjective and completely contingent on whose ox is getting gored.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all their own interests. Like, nothing is really important. Because it's like, initially it's the deal, but Logan keeps ATN. And he does that pirate speech. He's like, we're going to be pirates. We're going to be here a lot. And then he dies. And all of a sudden they're like, they go talk to him and Madsen's like, increase the offer a ton, but he wants ATN. And they're like, hey, good job. Good job. Everybody's celebrating.
But isn't ATN the only like profitable part? Like, the rest of the empire is sclerotic. It's like cruises with a terrible brand because they're like rape cruises. You know, it's the next new thing. Business is growth oriented. Wanted
the library. The
okay, it, sure.
Wanted their streaming library. The biggest thing that he wanted for Gojo. Yeah, that other stuff didn't matter.
But the movie studio, like they've got an over budget blockbuster. The next big thing, you know, business, they have to grow. It's what's the next thing you're pitching? And it's land cruises. Yeah. How'd you like the land cruise pitch? Like all the benefits of a cruise ship on land.
And my understanding was that they were pitching that as like a network of retirement homes, right? That's what the land cruises were. Am I wrong? Yes, they were like,
I think that's what
we will elongate the end of your life here if you pay us.
Yeah.
And then their next pitch was the Forever Life, the Black Mirror episode is basically what they were pitching.
That's what the land cruises thing was. What did they call it?
Live Plus or something?
Live Plus.
Or Live
Life,
Plus.
Was it Life Plus or Live? Yeah.
Life Plus. Life, oh my God, I forget what they called it.
But also Kindle really did, like, regardless of how idiotic it was, Kindle really did nail the pitch. And like people were like excited about it when everybody thought he was going to go out there and just like fall on his face again.
Yeah.
Which is a really good parody of just the stupidity of like CEOs pitching stuff. Like Silicon Valley is some of this, you know, but like the idea of somebody who's charismatic getting on stage and giving a good pitch of a terrible idea. It's still a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't thought about this, but it is an interesting point because the same thing happens again at the funeral, right? Where Roman completely breaks down and Kendall has to take over and he
nails it,
does a decent job.
Yeah.
And I think it's an interesting point the show makes about how much just acting can make an idiot who has no good ideas into a huge successful phenomenon. He's basically, you know, he's a business demagogue. He's a half business, half political demagogue.
Yeah. So do you think if the brother doesn't get up there, Logan's brother doesn't go up there, do you think that Roman is able to give a decent eulogy, or do you think that messes it up, or do you think that he's actually able to do it? That whole situation where he just talks about his dad being an awful person and all this thing just messes him up so much that he can't collect himself? Or do you think he's just going to be terrible no matter what?
I think Grover's going to fuck up no matter what.
I don't know.
I mean, I think definitely.
I think he does a lot better than what he
threw him off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause like if somebody did that and like throws you off completely and you're just like, you're set, like, I'm the man, I'm going to go do this. Like you see him just like in preparation.
Yeah,
right. You see him at his hotel and he's just like, my dad's a great man. And he's like, oh, and don't I remind you of him? And like all this stuff. And he's like ready to go for it. And then he just gets crapped on by his brother. And he's just like, I didn't want to let him up there. And he's just like, I don't know what to do. And like, I think if he's not completely just thrown off, like if everything goes perfect for Roman, I think he can do what he wants to do. But anything that throws a little hitch in it, I think that completely throws him off and he just can't function.
So I think this supports my theory that among the three principal children, maybe Connor accepted them, maybe not. Among those three, Roman is the closest one to a normal person in that, like, he realizes at least how screwed up they are, whereas Shiv and Kendall refuse to acknowledge it. And he says all the time, like, we're so fucked up, I'm so fucked up. And he says at the end, his, like, final line of the show is, we're all bullshit. I'm bullshit, yeah. You're bullshit.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you or I was supposed to give a eulogy of our father and a uncle had come up and just in that, like, yeah, that would have been a difficult thing to do. Kendall's like, no, it's just a performance. I can do it. Like, let me just get my line straight and I will deliver the speech because I have to deliver the speech.
Like, he was happy after the thing because he performed so well.
Right.
He didn't care about the eulogy or anything. He was happy about how well,
like,
he did.
Even Minkin was like, that was perfect.
Yeah, right. And exactly.
So, like,
he's not a real person.
No.
Yeah.
I'm in your camp there.
It's all about his standing.
Like, human there. Maybe Connor. I mean, you just don't really get that much from Connor just because he's not really in it and he doesn't seem like it. But I would say, yeah, as far as of those three, for sure, Roman seems like he at least acknowledges he has flaws. And he's just like, yeah, we all are terrible. Whereas Shiv and they both think they're great people.
Yeah. There's, because for, like, it was season three when he's telling him, Kendall's telling his dad, I'm better than you, when he has him over for dinner.
Yeah.
Like, I can't run the company like you do because I'm better than you. So.
Yeah. Can we talk about, I'm sorry for skipping to the end here, but can we talk about Greg?
Yeah.
Okay, let me make one more point.
He's got 5 minutes. Just let him do his thing.
I can be a little late.
I think of all the characters on the show, as long as we're talking about Roman is the only one at the end who's going to be okay, right? He's sitting there at the bar and we see, like, he's going to be okay. He doesn't take himself too seriously. Like, Jeremy Strong, Kendall is ruined for life. And Shiv, like, is sitting next to her husband, whom she hates. Like, it's at the end, like, Roman among those three, I guess, like, Connor is so clueless. Like, he bumbles through life, putting stickers on things.
1%. And he's going to be ambassador to Slovenia.
Yeah.
All
right.
Without his wife.
Ben, yeah, go. What did you want to talk about?
Okay. Great. So I was having this conversation with my brother, who said that he was really disappointed in the ending with Greg because he basically ends up okay. You know, he's got a job and he's, you know, working for Tom or whatever. And I thought that was totally wrong. I think Greg, the role that Greg plays in the show, apart from being hilarious extra comedy, is I won't even call it comic relief because the whole thing is comic, but
you'd call it comic comedy.
Yeah,
okay. That's my favorite kind of comedy.
Me too. He shows you what happens when an otherwise, like, kind of normalish person gets sucked into this black hole of selfishness and intrigue and brutality. And it's just four seasons of him gradually losing his soul. And so by the end, yeah, he's got a paycheck and he's got a job with someone who chronically abuses him and hates him. And he's lost his soul entirely. And it's just the next generation of the Roys happened to be Tom Wamsgans and cousin Greg.
Right. And Tom is just a little further down that path than Greg is, because he came into that world, you know, as
a generation earlier or whatever.
Yeah. So, and Tom is now just willing to, you know, he's willing to sell out his wife to get what he wants. He's willing to go see every divorce lawyer in New York.
But Greg
sells her up multiple times and she still ends up enthralled to him.
Yeah.
But it's like resignation. It's not like, I'm so happy to be with the CEO. It's just like, I guess.
Well, you see, they're not even really like holding hands at the end. She just like puts it on his hand and they're just like both sitting there, shit. Like kind of like it is what it is at the end on that last episode.
Ben, I'm with you. I don't think Greg is okay at all. Like, yes, he has a job, but like Tom like puts the sticker on him, claiming him like I own you. Like, you're cushy.
He said you're a fucking piece of shit right before he said that.
Also, I mean, like, think about what happens when Tom.
I thought that was the true love story between the whole show, but whatever.
I mean, think about what happens when Tom is no longer CEO. I mean, does Greg end up in the Roman position of like, okay, I'll go off and do my own thing? Or does Greg end up in the Kendall position of now I have nothing left for the rest of my life?
Greg has no resume. Like he is an assistant making six digits. Like, but it's not like he's got
maybe not anymore
next to his. Yeah. Maybe not even. Yeah. Maybe he's Tom probably will pay him like $60,000 to like be his slave.
Yeah.
And there's like nothing on a CV,
especially in New York.
Yeah. He'll get to hang out around the people who have the real money. But then if he ever loses that job, all he can say is, oh yeah, I'm really good at cover-ups.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm really good at firing people. Guys, how great was that scene of him firing the people on Zoom and taking pride in how good he was at it?
That was, and you know, he what's his skill is that he's able to get close to Mattson by what's the term they use, like an abuse blanket or something like that?
Abuse sponge.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I can get close to these guys because they will abuse me and insult me and threaten me, and I'll just be like, cool.
Yeah, cool. But
I can't do cocaine two nights in a row. That's how an addiction starts.
And I but love his he voice.
Does. Tom makes him do it anyway. I do not want to do cocaine. Okay, I'll do cocaine.
He's like, I'm not doing it by myself, Greg. You're going full Greg tonight.
I thought it was weird. The storyline, I mean, I guess it's realistic, but the storyline of Tom being tired for a while, like that was just a thing for like three episodes. Like, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I mean, I guess you would be, but it just seemed, I don't know. It seemed like a weird, like he couldn't do anything.
Can't take a nap. He was tired. And then Greg's like, how about having an espresso? And he's like, then I won't be able to go to sleep. It's like, oh, okay.
I think they were just really trying to push the emphasis on how it was going to be on election night, because election night is going to be. And so it was like the leading up to where he's like, I just need some sleep before election night. And he kept like saying shit, like, you know what I'm about to go through. And like, I'm about to have to stay up all night. It's like, big deal. Like people have to stay up all night for work, for different things. Like I heard
Roger Ailes complaining about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys struggle at all with the idea that, so I understand that there's like real life parallels and, you know, Fox News and Dominion, but the idea on the show, like the premise on Succession is that ATN single-handedly was able to decide the election based on their call.
That's just their illusion.
Okay.
They keep on talking about how they're picking the president, and at no point are they actually picking the president. That's just them being self-important.
Okay. So even the guilt about it, like racked with guilt, like Roman's the only one who has no guilt about it. Shiv is torn up because ATN single-handedly threw the election to Mencken. You're saying that's just ego.
I don't know if Fox News made a call and nobody else, like no other networks were calling it. I don't think that would everybody's like, oh, well, I mean, Fox News says
it doesn't change the votes is the point.
Right. Exactly. Right?
Like, they're not changing votes. It's just their self-importance. It's like, oh my God, ATN swung the election after all the votes have been cast.
Well, so the big thing where it was the fire or whatever that all the mail-in votes they lost. And so they wanted to say, well, if we're on board with like waiting and like there might be a recount or a second vote, but because they called it, there was no chance for that to happen, that it started the narrative of they're not going to do a revote. They're not going to do a recount or anything like that. They're not going to have the mail-in ballots redone. And so I think they're saying like, oh, we killed that idea by calling it.
So,
you're right. That doesn't matter.
Right. I mean, I agree that they leave it ambiguous as to how much influence they actually have in the show, which I think is interesting. But my interpretation is that doesn't change whatever the Wisconsin election law is, even if they think it does. Right.
Right. Right. Well, that's where I'm like, well,
and they did mention at the end a couple times where, oh, it's still in the courts. Because like even Mencken said, we'll see.
Let's remember that Frank Rich is an executive producer on the show. And I just wonder, so like, we could talk about Fox News and their models and how they called Arizona and felt justified in doing so. And people hated that they did it so early. But like, was that sour grapes from like a Frank Rich or whatever? I don't know. Like, or was it what Ben thinks it is of just like their delusion of grandeur, of power that they don't have?
That's a good question. Do you have his number, Frank? No. Thought we could ask him.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Connor? We have not talked much about him. He gets married this season. He buys his father's apartment, like at the wake, right?
$62 million.
$62 million and a spit handshake.
His father dies on the day of his wedding.
Yeah.
Right. Flying to another continent.
Yeah.
And I will say, whatever you thought of, I'm sorry that that episode was ruined for you, Chris, but the metaphor of the boat literally coming unmoored from the dock and them immediately trying to go backwards is beautiful. It's really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. And Connor, it's funny, like he has this much self-doubt. He is willing to spend what, $1 billion to get his percentage of the vote up like 2%? Was that
I think it was 2-1%.
Yeah, 2-1. Yes. He's trying to keep it at above, like at 1%.
And I can't remember.
That gave him leverage.
I thought it was only like $100 million, and I say only, but like,
I don't know.
It was an absurd amount of money for a very small bump.
Yeah.
And at some point he's saying to Greg, like, yeah, they're really fighting over my 1%. And Greg's like, does that matter to them?
Yeah.
You're still losing and losing by a lot. But he has a little bit of self-doubt that Willa's just marrying him for the money.
I mean, that's she totally is.
Yes,
she does not like him.
100%. She was a prostitute girlfriend turned
wife.
Like
this is how pretty.
Literally, Peter
would have turned out.
Yeah.
Yes,
this is the real life pretty woman.
But then, as he is thinking about negotiating, at first he's too good to on election night concede. And throw his support behind Mencken for maybe an ambassador post. But now that the votes are coming in, he's like, can we get that deal back?
Can we get that deal back? Yes.
What did he call Oman or Yemen? Like that was thrown out and he called it like the blank of the blank. Does anyone remember that?
Oh, let me look this up. Cause that was a really funny. I'll effort this. You guys talk.
And eventually kind of settles on Slovenia. Of course, in his self-importance, I think like for a while he's mentioning like European, you know.
Yes.
It's yeah, Connor, you got to realize who you are. You're not getting France.
Well, I don't understand the like influence that he has at all to where the votes are already been made. How does him backing out or backing?
Yeah,
was it actually really the night before that deal was there? So it was before election day. So
day, but he made it after the election was already going through.
Yeah, it was like the votes were already coming in, and he tries to and he makes the deal,
which is dumb. Roman tells him you have no leverage now. Like there's no like, but.
A complete favor from Megan, I think.
Yeah.
How long do you think Tom is going to last? See,
a great question because he's a survivor.
Yeah.
That's true.
About Tom with his last name, I did see a note on like somebody was making this comparison. It's probably BS, but the reason like his last name. Or I could a theory on his last
it's
name.
It's not true.
The baseball player that has the triple play.
It wasn't even him. That Wikipedia article is wrong, and the person who
Wikipedia is always right. That's
that.
Yeah, Ryan.
There's a guy named Bill. The claim was there was a player named Bill Wamsgans who got a triple play.
In the World Series,
like the 19,
it was unassisted, something like that. And because the point was that it was pure, like it was mostly luck. Is the point of it where he just happened to fall into a good situation, which is kind of.
But it wasn't even Tom that. Thing. It wasn't even Bill. It wasn't even Wamsgans that did it. And the people who wrote the show were like,
no,
what are you talking about?
If I did that, I would just do a random, I would do random names anyways, but either way, I think Tom does fine because he's just going to do whatever.
He knows he's a puppet. He knows he's just like,
okay. So yes, he will do like, that is precisely why he's there, is because he will be not just a puppet. He will be a punching bag. He will eat all the poop from Lucas Mattson. However, like, that person is an easy scapegoat, right? If anything goes wrong, it's like, right, well, he's the problem. You fire him and replace him with someone else.
Well, and they try to make it like, oh, why would I get Shiv when I could get the man that put the baby inside her? Like, that had nothing to do with it. He could care less about that. Like, yeah, he's like, no, I just don't want Shiv because she's kind of a wild card and she's going to do whatever she wants. Like,
yes, Shiv thought she was going to like run things and like, yeah, you know, make big decisions, and Mattson didn't want that at all.
No,
because she also has no CV and no experience to speak.
Yes, yes, that's true.
Ben, did you find that quote?
I cannot find it, but I'll tweet it at you guys and we can call that show notes.
Okay. I just binged something. Conor Roy discusses ambassadorship. And I want to steal this idea from this person who tweeted. This person says, I would watch 6 seasons of Conor Roy, U.S. ambassador to North Korea.
That's the spinoff.
100%. I would do it. That show will not happen, but it would be amazing with good writers.
So like, none of the kids really changed at all. They just went in their cycles that they all, like, no matter how much they told themselves that they were changing, they really...
Well, do you think Shiv... I think Shiv, as a political activist, felt like she was a virtuous person. Do you think, as she puts her hand on Tom Wamsgam's hand in the final scenes, that she still thinks she's a good person?
I don't... I guess I'm a little bit of a cynic, but I mean, I don't know, like, what is a good person in these, in like, who would you consider to be a good person in any of the show? Like, it's not, I don't know that I would say any of the people that are on the board, anything, anyone like that, you could say that's like, oh, they're a good person, or I don't know. I feel like they're all the same. They're all human and kind of. The only redeeming factors are people that understand that they're not, they have flaws. And like, that's where I'm with Roman. Ben, where Roman, he at least knows that he's flawed and he has issues. And like everybody else pretty much thinks they're good and they're a good person and they do right. It's like, I do my best. And it's just like, yeah, we all do our best, but we're all still crap people. Ultimately. And I think the big redeeming factor is the people that understand that they are flawed and they're not perfect. And I don't know. So it's hard for me to say that, like, for any of it, but the real question is manslaughter or murder. That's my question.
I think Roman is the only one who recognizes that there might be a difference or at least some tension between being a good person and being successful. And the rest of them do not acknowledge that there's a difference.
Right.
And so Shiv thinks that she's not a good person because she didn't end up on top, if anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Because sure. she's in the process of thinking, I need to be on top because I will make a difference if I'm successful and I'm a good person. Like, because then I can make my side win and I can do good in the world. And like, really, it's ultimately about being in control and being powerful. And that's the same thing with Kendall. And with Shiv.
Speaking of people, of bad people with delusions, what do you think about Kendall's delusion that he's a good father?
I think he got okay.
Sorry?
Because Shiv told him, I think he got, he thinks he's an okay father.
Okay.
Which still seems like a stretch. I don't know why he would.
I blame the writers not wanting to work with kid actors is why he's not a good dad.
And yeah, Roman in season one, Roman had kids and a wife.
I forgot about that.
In episode one.
I will say, having some sympathy for Kendall here, that like based on his comparison, he sure might be a good father.
Okay.
He's
probably a better father than Logan was to him. And the fact that he's not in their lives all that much might be the best outcome.
That's
a great take.
Number one, that's great, a really take. Low bar comparing yourself to right. Logan.
But that is his comparison, right? Like that's it. Yeah. That's what fatherhood means to him. What other good examples does he have?
But I don't think it's Frank. Like, I think a bad, I think an okay father in your life is better than an okay father not being in your life. Like,
I don't think he's an okay father.
If you've ever met, okay.
Yeah, I don't. All right. Yeah. I thought it was a big stretch for him to call himself okay.
Can you think of one interaction between him and his kids that doesn't end up disastrously?
Or it doesn't end up with his kids crying?
Yeah, honestly. And like, he has them followed around by random like black SUVs without them knowing. And yeah, like I think the only reason he's an okay father is that he's not around them more. And the more he's around them, the more they would suffer. Like, he is a brutal, abusive person, just like the rest of them, and should not be around children. In a certain sense, I think that their mother was right. That, like, she said this about Shiv, but like, none of them probably should have children.
Yeah, but that was also a horrible thing to say. Like,
yes, horrible thing for her to say. I'm allowed to say it.
Yeah.
See, the way that Kendall, like, you know, treats his assistant, like when Jess on the day of the funeral, when she's like, he's like going over his schedule, he's like, what's this meeting we have with you next week? And she's like, oh, don't worry about that. And she's like, let's talk about it later. He's like, well, now I'm kind of worried about it. And she's like, I don't want to talk about it today. Today's not the day. We don't need to worry about it. And he's like, well, and she's like, I want to.
He bullies her until she tells him. Yes. And then he's like, what did you
great
tell me?
Great fucking timing, Jess.
You're going to tell me on this today?
He says, great fucking timing, Jess.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I can see him treating his kids like that way. Yeah.
Going back to the mother telling her that like she shouldn't have kids, the biggest awful thing that she was saying was like the biggest cop out was like, well, you were an awful kid. You didn't love me. You were terrible at loving me. Like, you know how hard it was to love you? Like, I couldn't be around you because how terrible you were.
Yeah,
like,
that was,
you're the parent. You're not supposed to be getting love from them. You're supposed to be pouring love to them. And like,
that's a child.
Yeah, that was rough. That just blaming a child for.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say that there was, so speaking of Jess, there was also a great moment, and I think episode one or two, where they're talking about the 100, and Kendall turns to Jess and says, like, what's going on in Africa? I want to know what's going on in Africa. Like, as if she would know what's going on in Africa.
Like, you have dark skin.
What's going on in that whole continent? I want to know, and I can't Google it, so I'll ask Jess.
Because he says we could have like ATN, but for Africa, just like Africa on all the. I would watch that. I'd watch the shit out of that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and her expressions to him, just like, just without saying anything, conveying what the fuck is wrong with you.
Yeah.
And doesn't Shiv make a joke? It was to Mattson, right? Like, I can be CEO because like. The Roy way is to not parent your child anyway. Like,
right. Yes.
Like, yeah, you give, the baby comes out and someone else raises
it. She said the daddy raises it. I'll never see it again.
Did she have that dog before or after that conversation with her mom? Because then your mom said you should have dogs and not children.
Oh,
wow. I didn't think about that.
Because I don't remember having a dog before then. And then I remember him coming back. It's like the dog doesn't even recognize you or something like that. Because the dog's barking. And and Tom That's says, like, the dog doesn't even know who you are. And so I didn't know if the dog was there before or after that conversation.
She got a dog after her mom told me that.
Yeah.
That's funny. I forgot it completely about the dog being in the apartment.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting to me. It's like, did she go from having dogs and then she's like, oh, I was terrible with the dog, and it's like, you know what, I'll have a baby instead.
I was terrible with the dog, but I'll be much better with a baby.
No, she probably said, wow, I'm great with this dog.
Yeah.
I've trained it to be so vigilant about intruders that it barks at me.
Yeah, exactly. I hired the best dog walker, so I'm ready to have a baby.
I can vet a dog walker like nobody else. So, okay. Who was it that, who among the cast, was it Roman? Was it Logan? Somebody was really shocked that this was the last season. Do you remember reading this?
Yeah, I do.
And didn't really know until like really late that like, oh, by the way, like this is it.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been. I do remember hearing this story told a couple times, and I cannot remember which actor it was, because they actually like even started like asking about like what was going to be in season 5, and then it was like, oh, this is the last season.
Yeah,
and they were like already like doing table reads and stuff. So I cannot remember which actor that was. Huh. I mean, you might be right. It might have been.
Do you think there's an ending that ended with Kendall actually becoming the CEO? You don't think there's ever an ending there?
I think this was the only ending, whether it was, you know, 3 seasons or 5. I think it was written with, I think the show was started with the end in mind. That's my own personal opinion that like it's going to end with everybody unsatisfied. Like because like Shiv could not live with Kendall as CEO. Like and Kendall has to come to terms with the fact like how ridiculous of a statement is it for Kendall to say, I was born for this. There's nothing else in life. Like I was like designed in a lab to be the CEO of Waystar Royco. That's insane, right?
And I think I'm in Ryan's camp here. So Kendall was the only out of the three. He was the obvious choice for it.
Yeah,
it's like none of the rest of them had any line to actually be CEO. That's why they had to give it to Kendall to even go in front of the board. Because if they'd have brought anyone else to the board, it was like Shiv was a reject of the guy they're not selling to. And Roman, he just
sucks.
He can't. Yeah,
he's not a serious person.
He's not a serious person. His
head's bleeding again.
he was too human. Roman was too human. He cried at his dad's funeral.
Right.
Can't do that. You can't do that. You can't cry. You can't have feelings. You can't show emotion. And like, so Kendall was the only option.
I still think about that scene where Roman's starting to say, like in the last episode, where Roman's starting to say, why can't it be me? It should be me. Like this cut is healing up pretty good. And so people are going to ask why it's not me. Like, was he asking Kendall to cut him, or was he like really saying, oh no, I'm not going to vote for you. I think it should be like, was he really going to fight him, or was he really wanting Kendall to like, you know, make you bleed again so that everyone would say, oh, well, obviously that's why it can't be Roman because of that.
And I don't know. I think it's ambiguous. I think it's a good question, but I do just, I think it's telling that everyone just acknowledges that if you have a cut on your head, you can't be CEO.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's all about appearance and performance, right? None of this is actually about what they can do. It's just about, well, I mean, you can't have a cut in your head and be CEO. That's preposterous.
You can't look like that. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look like a mess.
That's going to leave a scar. It's going to be different.
Well, I think that part of that is the immaturity on Roman there. that he's just like, oh, I look too beat up and I can't do it. And like,
that's well, why I think like, I kind of look he fine. Wanted that. He like, that was like, that was making him be okay with it for a while. Like right. That was like the way that he could justify to himself and like not, you know, be like, well, I could have been, but if it wasn't for this, so, you know, that's, I think that's what he told himself. And then,
I can't remember what, there's an actual psychological term for this. So like actual psychologists use, where like you're afraid of failing, so you don't try.
Yeah.
And like this is,
you like
this
self-sabotage.
Roman's, yeah. Yes. This is Roman's like psychologically safe way of not getting right. it. It's like, oh, well, I only didn't get it because I had this cut out of my head. Like that's right. the only reason.
No, I think that that's what was like keeping him like together.
I think Kendall was like, Kendall's like thinking like, no, you're an idiot. That's why you're not going to be, I'm better than you. And that's why you're not going to be CEO, but I'm willing to cut your head open more. So you think this is the reason you can't, you didn't get it. It's not you.
And Kendall may also acknowledge what's going on in Roman's head, right? He might know that like, you'll be okay with this if I just make your head bleed a little more. And then you'll get what you want and I'll get what I want, which is also what you want, which is what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, it's super fucked up, but I just felt like both of them like wanted Kendall to do that. Like, and that like, they're like, this is going to be the best for both of us. Let me hurt you.
Yeah.
I kind of can't believe we've talked this long without talking about one of our podcast's biggest tropes is that all Swedes are perverts. And Lucas Mattsson, like, how do you show affection to a girl? Do you write her a note and saying, do you want to go out with me? Circle yes or no. Or do you maybe just send her some of your blood?
Oh, a lot of your blood.
A lot of blood.
It started as a joke. It started as a joke. And then, like, maybe it wasn't a joke for a while. And then it was a joke again. And now maybe it's not a joke.
Let me ask you, what is the relationship between Mattsson and what, Ebba is her name?
Ebba. Yeah.
Well, they are dated.
Right. No. But I mean, as we're watching it, I think it is that she clearly disdains him and is just waiting for her book deal / lawsuit. And he thinks that that's an act on her part. He thinks that she will never leave, but I think she will.
She already told everybody all that information. Like she told Kendall that the numbers were fake. She told him about the blood. They told all, like, I get that. Mattsson already told Shiv about the blood stuff, but like, she was already telling everybody and already sabotaging
But Mattsson thought she was like totally on his side. Like there was no chance that she was going to screw him like ever.
Right. But when the shit hits the fan, like, who does he scream for? He screams, Ebba, Ebba. Yes. Right. It's like the one person.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She was totally just waiting for the right like moment to like make her break from him.
So are we supposed
whatever
to draw,
she's gonna decide.
Are we supposed to draw? Are we supposed to focus on the similarities between Mattsson and Logan Roy, or the differences? Because the more I think about it, the more similar they really are.
Well, I mean, even Mattsson, like when they first met, like he said, like, I could talk to your dad, like he could joke and stuff like that. It's not like we can just say how we feel, and it's not. You know, he's basically saying he understood his dad, their dad, and he really didn't understand the boys at all.
Right. Even though Logan understood his dad,
I think Mattsson was just a sociopath a little bit. I don't know that he understood anybody.
Well, and he's a fraud. I mean, like he's not even a coder.
Like he's not a coder. Like I think Mattsson was the biggest fraud in this. Like, and then he just had a ton of money. I don't think that. I think he was just as bad at running a company as the Roys, the Roy kids. Like, I don't think he knew what he was doing. I don't think he had, because any of the deals like that he made, he didn't do anything spectacular. He just made stupid comments the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know if he was like the first to the market with a certain product and just benefited from that. And
yeah, and everyone seeming very vague about like what Gojo actually is some kind of
social media giant. Yeah.
What's streaming?
I didn't know if they were trying to.
That's why they wanted the library that
Well, they want to integrate it all.
Yeah, I think Gojo is basically supposed to be like Snapchat at its peak combined with TikTok kind of thing.
It's the everything app that everybody always talks about.
It's the Tesla, but I think they were smart to just
be vague about it. I think they were smart to just be very vague and not ever actually talk, because it would have seemed really stupid if they would have like tried to describe it.
It's like, Fox made a deal with Snapchat. That doesn't sound like a very good deal.
Exactly.
Well,
don't really know or care, right? Like they're not actually interested in technology. It's big business, shiny, dickhead owner. Great.
Yeah. If they want to purchase it, yeah, that's great.
Let us remember that Rupert Murdoch spent like $400 million to buy MySpace.
I had forgotten that.
That's funny.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's like I don't know if it's $400 million, but a lot. And that's like the cautionary tale of just like whatever the MySpace is of its generation is not like there's a lifespan of those things. Like there's going to be a new next thing. So like don't. Yeah. So if for all the billionaires listening, do not buy the Snapchat or the TikTok. It's at its peak.
Guys, or Twitter for that matter.
Yeah, or Twitter.
Spend $37 million on Twitter.
Yeah.
That'll work out.
No, I didn't mention Twitter on purpose. I feel like it's just a good buy. That's a good buy.
It's a good purchase.
Okay. Here's the question that we should use to sum up this discussion. How much blood do you think Thomas has sent to various women through the years? Is this thing something you reserve for one woman that you stalk and forever only send blood to her? Or do you send a little bit to each girl? How many dates until you start sending blood?
I assume that Swedes have like some blood, some at least one packet of blood on them like every day.
How many blood boys do they have?
Right. Does Thomas have a blood boy?
Does Thomas have a blood boy? Is that?
I feel like you have to send your own blood, but you're saying to rejuvenate you once you've
right. So you can send it more often.
You give blood and then you get the blood boy's blood to rejuvenate. So ultimately, the blood boy is you're getting the blood boy's blood, but it's diluting. Like
it's a blood alloy, really.
Yeah.
I think if anything's limiting Thomas, it's just the cost of international shipping.
Yeah, that's true.
Or maybe that's why you moved home to Sweden. Is that like this girl that I've been sending blood to for a decade? It's I am broke.
I'm sending blood to all these American girls. it freaks them out. I'm not going to stop doing that, so I'll just go back to Sweden,
where it's just acceptable. Understood. Yeah.
They don't like it, but they get it.
They tell you they don't like it. All right. Ben, you've got to go.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, Ben?
Good show. I'm actually glad it ended when it did. I like this new trend of series just ending when it's time and not being promoted past their natural lives.
Not doing the wire where
or Scrubs.
I'm still waiting for this.
How many seasons of Scrubs do they do?
9, I think.
And you were like, maybe the ninth,
probably.
Maybe the ninth will finally be good. Patrick, what did you say? I didn't hear you.
Oh, I just was being dumb. I said I'm still waiting for the next season to come out for Scrubs.
What Ben is referring to is the last season of Scrubs was like a half spinoff. It had the main actors, or at least some of them, like Zach Braff, but then brought in like Dave Franco and like a few other kind of new characters, like the new class of residents. And it was not popular, very quickly ended the show.
Yeah. And I think like a lot of shit, cause didn't like, I think even like Parks and Rec and The Office kind of tried to do that too, cause like Steve Carell left The Office.
I have no complaints about The Office.
They brought everyone back for the ending. And like, even some of the people that did stand-ins were just as I maybe not just as good, but like they did a really good job of like filling that gap when Steve Carell left and all that.
I think it worked the whole way through, and same with Parks and Rec. I feel like so you're saying just the Ryan
the idea I like don't know
adding Rob Lowe and Adam Scott and stuff.
Well, I thought Adam Scott and Rob Lowe were on it.
I think maybe season two. Much,
yeah, they were on it pretty much the whole time. I guess maybe Parks and Rec.
He was,
it.
I didn't the watch CEO.
I didn't see the last few seasons of either of these shows. So, but I do remember when Steve Carell left, they tried to, you know, bring in. I just don't know if the idea was, oh, we can keep this going for another 10 years or.
So
people love the ending of The Office, to my understanding.
What happens?
Like, I don't know. I refuse to watch the end of season, the like end of episode. So that's just, it's forever still going. I still have that to come back to. So like I can still come back and finish the show. If I don't ever finish it, it's still going. So
it's
not over in your heart.
Exactly. So but people love it from what I've heard.
Well,
same with Parks and Rec. Yeah. I haven't seen the ending of that. I'm just not great.
I think it was the last few seasons of both those. I was just like, nah, I'm good.
Okay.
It's fine.
I think it's the ADHD. It's just you're not good at finishing things. That's my feeling on that is like, I can't finish a task. Can't finish a TV show. I only did this because there was pressure to finish it. Because you asked me to come on this show. So I was like, oh, I have to. There was a deadline and it forced me to finish it.
So speaking of not being able to finish, did you see the new Twitter thing going around where it's, I don't know how new it is, especially when this episode comes out, but using only pictures, name one famous, like talk about one famous battle. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen them.
The funniest one was LeBron versus Page One. And it showed like Instagram pictures of LeBron, like at the beginning of like multiple books. And like, it's clearly just like a photo, like he'll open a book but he'll never open it to like the middle of the book. It's always like on page one.
Yeah. What? So he's posting these pictures of himself reading. Or somebody is, and he's always on page one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't see that one. I've seen a bunch of them, though. People keep doing it. Not sure it's...
I haven't seen any of them. I'm not...
Looks like they're not going to get this seven time.
They're not going to get... Your room in time?
The sub. The submarine. Oh, the Titanic.
Yeah.
Submarine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Aren't they already out of air? Have you paid attention to this at all, Chris?
A little bit. And I saw somebody say on Twitter, like, wait a second. And she was wrong. She said, these people went down in this homemade sub that had no windows. So their whole viewing experience was on a screen. And people are like, actually, no, there was a window. And it was like this tiny little porthole. So, but like most of what they're actually seeing underwater. So not only are they using like a Logitech controller from 2005.
Wait a second. Hold the fuck on. You telling me they went down there to look at the Titanic on a video screen?
Yeah.
You got up on the boat.
I thought there was I thought the front of it had a window though.
Yep, the front has like this tiny window, but I think
yeah.
It's so small that like you'd have to take turns like peeking out.
You'd have to
like,
be like yeah. spinning around.
That's,
to get
that's
tired
the whole thing. That's the whole thing that everyone keeps saying is like they went down there when they could have just stayed up on land and watched the video while a robot did it.
Yeah. Well, and who's to say they actually did go down, or like if you wanted to charge people what $250,000 or whatever it was, like you could have put them like 10 feet down and like played a video for them.
And just play a video, like look at that. That's right now. That's right now.
You just have you have like one of those.
We're right there.
What is the
you could reach out and touch it.
Look at one, you can look through the
crushing
and like
pressure
move the photo all around.
Right. Yeah.
It's just a video game.
And I mean, they'd be like, they wouldn't give us a video game controller if this were really just a video game.
Yeah.
Obviously, they wouldn't be that obvious about it. That's stupid.
Also, instead of a screen, let's everybody put on these VR headsets, get in this small tube. We're gonna go down thousands of feet on the ocean.
Whoa! And then cut it on the sheet. Oh.
Everybody wants you.
feel that?
Does your stomach hurt?
Yeah, I can feel it.
Are your ears popping?
All right, boys, can we put a bow on this episode? I feel like without Thomas, we don't have no one to say. We're starting to run out of time.
Yeah. I just feel bad. Ryan pretty much brought me on here to annoy Thomas, and now he's not even going to get to butt in when he's annoyed by me. He's just going to have to listen to it in silence, like, and not
that's
be able
to. The point. It's kind of fun. He's going to have to listen to this no matter what. So, what else do you want to say? Let's give you a few minutes to just annoy Thomas.
No, I think I've done a pretty good job. He's already, like, the audio on mine is probably going to be pretty bad because Brian didn't give me time to get any microphone. He
didn't give you time to, like, dribble your microphone on the floor so it'd be dented.
Exactly.
I have a new headphones.
The new one.
Yeah,
not dented.
I have the new one.
Yeah, he has the dented.
I didn't know I had the
he's got the dented one.
All right, we are starting to run out of time. This has been the SSEU podcast. Oh, support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/SSEU pod. Just pod, not podcast. Just pod.
It's patreon.com/pod.
Wait, I thought this has already been over for a while. I thought that when Ben left, we ended the podcast.
Who knows? We never know.
Thomas releases it.
Thomas
can cut this out, so we're good.
So, yep. Please support the Patreon.
All of our conversations without Ben.
Yeah, who knows?
Let's stay in.
Light a candle. We got to make sure that people do not ever blow out the candle.
Put a sock over it.